Then the Mechaber, when he discusses the day, you know that according to the Mechaber, today is actually included in the days that are forbidden to make chasnas and so on, until Lamed Aleph. But he says, Lag Lo Omer. When the Ramah says that we allow on Lag Ba Omer, he writes with the base. So you already have in that simon itself the two different girsos, because that's how they said it. One said it Lo Omer, and the other one said it Ba Omer. If I remember correctly, the first time I ever saw that, besides the Mechaber, was in the Meiri. I think he also says Lo Omer. But in any case, it's a perfect time to learn this inyan. What am I trying to accomplish here? What I'm trying to accomplish is to go from the original Makoros, which don't even deal with the Zohar really, and until the Truvas more recent, specifically from Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Hillel, should be well, and try to show you that what happened with the learning of the Zohar is very similar in certain ways to what happened with the learning of Gemara that split up between the Wissenschafts type of people and the people who look at the Gemara historically and people who look at the Zohar historically, which I'm not speaking about. But within the learning of Gemara, there's nothing esoteric. So therefore, whatever you learn is open to everybody. When it comes to something like the Zohar, for the Charedim, for the people who are interested in the Zohar, there's a question, who is permitted and who is not, and how do you approach the Zohar Bechlal? So that makes the Zohar different than the Gemara. In the Gemara, you have the secular look at the Gemara versus the Haredi look at the Gemara. When I say Haredi, I don't mean the subtleties of Haredi versus whatever else. I'm talking about people who are Yirei Shamayim. People believe Torah and Hashamayim and so on and so forth. So those people who accept the Zohar and understand that these are Sefarim Kedoshim, so there's a whole question who is permitted and who is not, and how much and when and where. So this is one of the things that I wanted to talk about. So we start with very famous Rambams. The Rambam, of course, did not know the Zohar, and the Rambam's knowledge of Inyone Kabbalah is a debatable point. Certainly, the Yad HaChazakah, there isn't really any Inyone Kabbalah to speak of. And the Rambam, when he speaks about Ma'ase Bereishis and Ma'ase Merkava, the Gemara in Chagiga, he refers to things that don't sound like the things that are mentioned in the Zohar. And this, of course, is something that was already noticed immediately and is particularly in the Shach and the Gra that I quote here. But let's start with the Rambam. Tzivu chachomim shalo lidrosh v'dvarim elu elu li'ish echad b'vad v'ushi achachom u'meivin midaitoi v'chakach moisrin lo shukim v'dino yisai shemetz min adova v'umeivin midaitoi v'yeda asoif adova v'oimkoi. So you're seeing here a tremendous number of restrictions. First and foremost of which is that it's ish mi pi ish. You have a Rebbe and a Talmud. As you know, the Ramban, which I didn't quote here, but the Ramban in his Hakdama to his Pirush on Chumash, he says that I'm going to be giving a variety of Pirushim, and the regular Pshat Pirush that I give is of course available to everybody, but don't even bother unless you have a Rebbe who has trained you in these Inyonim to be ma'ayin in what I write in the Inyone Kabbalah, B'derech Nistar, because it's not for you. So the Ramban was of the cheder that if you don't have a Rebbe and the Rebbe doesn't teach you his Masorah in Inyone Kabbalah, then it's not for you, Bechlal. There's no such thing as learning it on your own or learning it out of Sfarim. This particular restriction does not apply to the Nigla of Shas. If a person is self-taught and he knows Shas, then he knows Shas. If he knows Rashi, he knows Rashi. This is not something that the Ramban could accept in Inyone Nista. But the Rambam here is not speaking about Inyone Nista in the same sense of the Ramban, as everybody understands and knows. But the principle is the same. Namely, he's coming out of the Gemara in Chagiga, and he's coming with an understanding that the way you present to the next door, to your Talmud, is critical in the giving over, and he gives you all kinds of restrictions. Liish echad, he's a chacham meivin midaito, you give him only Rashi Prakim. If he can't figure it out himself, then he's not the Talmud that you're looking for. So memela, you don't have to spell everything out to him. There's no spoon feeding in the inyonim of Maise Bereishis and Maise Merkava. Because if he's not shayach to be able to extrapolate on his own, then it's not something that you want him to be involved in to begin with. And that's what he writes. Dvarim elu, dvarim amukim heim adlim ma'od v'ein kol da'as v'da'as ru'uyo l'soflo. The people just simply don't have necessarily the capacity, and that's kloshim l'vushecha, kachom u'chachomim b'pirish moshal zeh, dvarim shem kifshono shal olam, you know, the ultimate of the esoteric, yilu v'shecha kloyma l'chol v'adcha, it should be your own personal malbush, v'al tidrish b'hem v'rabim. And that's what it says, yilu l'chol v'adcha v'ein l'zarim mitoch. And then it says, v'ash v'chol v'tachas l'shonech, pasuk in shir ha-shirim, kach b'shu chacham rishonim, dvarim shem kidvash v'chol 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 means not the lechem mayim of Torah, the lechem u'basar, as he describes in Perek Dal Halacha Yud Gimel, the next piece, number two, but this is Dvash V'cholov. Dvash V'cholov is best limited, and it's something that's tachas l'shoincha, not to be given over barabim. Torah is supposed to be given barabim. Which part of the Torah? The nigla of Torah. The nister of Torah is dafka not supposed to be barabim. And the Rambam now, in the next piece, which is number two in the notes, he is now about to tell you what am I including in this esoteric learning that I'm speaking about in Perek Beis. V'inyonei arba prokim elu, shebebchomish mitzvahs eha elu, these mitzvahs that are mentioned from the beginning of Yesodei HaTorah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, until this point in Perek Dalet, at the end of Perek Dalet, this is the first section of the Rambam in Yad HaZokah, Yesodei HaTorah, and these are the first four prakim of Yesodei HaTorah. And these four prakim include Ahava and Yira and the mitzvah of acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus and so on. So, in Yonim mitzvahs Eluhem Shachachomim Arishonim Karmel Sol Pardes. Moshe Amru Arbo'a Nichnesu LaPardes. And even though they were Gedol Yisrael, even they. So of course, since he spoke about Dvash V'cholov, now he's speaking about Lechem U'Basar. So what's Lechem U'Basar? That's the Nigla. Those are the mitzvahs. And this is what the Gemara calls Dover Kotten when it speaks about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that he learned everything. And Dover Kotten and Dover Gadol, the Gemara says, what is Dover Kotten? Havayos da Abaye Verova. Of course, everyone asks, how could Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai be busy with the Havayos of Abaye Verova when Abaye Verova was so much later? And they answer whatever they answer. It's a category, it's a concept. Havayos da Abaye Verova. That's called Dover Kotten. And Dover Gadol, Maisa Breishis and Maisa Merkava. So Maisa Merkava is a Dover Gadol. So the Rambam says, that's the Pardes. And that's the topics that are alluding tales of all of these mitzvahs and the inyonim that they involve. Not everybody's roi l'tayel b'pardes. Not everybody's roi to take a walk through that orchard. And they should first be masters of the lechem u'basa. What's lechem u'basa? Hu leida ha'asur v'ha'mutar v'kayotza b'hem mishar ha'mitzvahs. V'afo pishu dvar meilu dover kotten. Koro son chachomim. Shari amru dover gadol is maisim erkova dover kotten advaista by v'rova. Nevertheless, afal pikein ruyin hein lahagdimon. So in other words, he's saying it's not as great as the Maisa Merkava, but you need them, shehem miyashrim daito shel adam tchila, v'od shehem hatova hagadola sheishpia kodesh baruch hu liyishuv ha'olam. So it's really very remarkable, and there's a lot to say about these lines in the Rambam, but we don't have the time. I don't know that if someone would ask one of us to write what's the importance of Gemara, really. That's what really Havayis Dabai V'Rova is, that he would write it this way. Miyashvim Daita Shalodam Tchila. It gives you Yishuv Hadas. What about knowing how to do the mitzvahs? What about the Etzem Mitzvah of Talmud Torah? There's something unusual about the way in which the Rambam makes this presentation. And you'd almost get the impression that Me'ikar Adin, if a person could spend most of his involvement and his time in the esoteric of Maisa Merkava, as the Rambam understands what Maisa Merkava is, then that would be ideal. But Nebuch, we have to do these things first, and these things are important, and these things are available for the Hamon Am. You know, it's just a very, very interesting approach. So there's really much more to say about it, but we don't have the time. In the Shulchan Aruch, they basically, he starts with the whole idea of how you're supposed to divide your time in learning. And there's a quotation of several Rambams kind of superimposed one on top of the other. It's like cut and paste. So this particular Resh Mem Vav, Siv Dalid, starts with Chayev L'Shalish Limudo and quotes the Rambam there, which is in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph. And then the Rambam describes exactly this, and this is the famous Rambam's Balabas that everybody quotes. What's the Rambam's Balabas? A person who's working seriously 3 hours a day and learning 9 hours a day. That's the Rambam's Balabas, as opposed to the Rambam's Keser Torah personality, who's totally immersed in Torah, who is working much less and only when he needs to survive. Osik kol hayom b'Torah, and he's osik m'malachto ma'at im ein lo ma'yochal. That's the Loshon HaRaidim. Im ein lo ma'yochal. If he doesn't have... So here it tells you that the Baal HaBos is osik b'malachto gimu shos b'yom v'tes b'Torah, and Korei, if he has 9 hours, the Rambam didn't need 9 hours to divide by three. He could have used 3 hours to divide by three, but the Rambam feels that a Baal HaBos should learn at least 9 hours a day. So he divides it into three. Torah Shebeksav, Torah Shebal Peh, and Maven Dover Mitoch Dover, what we call Gemara, analysis, Reb Kiva Eger, and so on. Bamedvar Mamurim B'tchilas Limuda Shel Adam, Abo Kishiyagbil B'Torah V'layet Tzarech Lom B'Torah Shebeksav, V'Lasa Tomit B'Torah Shebal Peh. He knows all of it already, he remembers it. Yikra Be'itim Zumanim just to Chazer over, Kadesh Lo Yishkach, and then Yifane Kol Yomav L'Talmud B'Vad, L'Firochav Libo V'Yishuv Daito. That's it. And Bavli includes everything. That's what the Rambam says, based on the word Rabbeinu Tam. So what does this have to do with what we're talking about? So comes along the Rambam, and the Rambam says something really remarkable. He writes, Lo avolo yilmot sha'ar chochmos, umikom akom, the last three lines, 4 lines of this. Of this Rama in Siv Dalid Reish Mem Vav in Shulchan Aruch Yeridaya, he says Mikomakom Mutalumod Ba'akroi, occasionally, not Bekvius B'Sha'ar Chochmos U'Bulvad Shlo Yiyu Sifrei Minim No Apikursus B'Zeh Nikra Bein HaChachomim Tiyu Ba'Pardes. This is an extremely difficult line. This is what's called amongst the Chachomim Tiyu Ba'Pardes. Well, where do you have the phrase Tiyu Ba'Pardes? What is that? How is that helping us? Zeh Nikra Tiyu Ba'Pardes. Obviously, he means the Arba Nichnasu L'Pardes. So he says, that's what they meant by Tiyu Ba'Pardes. Ve'ein lo'odom l'tayel Ba'Pardes. Rak la'acha shemile kresoi basar v'yayin. V'hu leida isu v'heter v'dinei ha'mitzvahs. So you see that the Ramah seems to have juxtaposed the Rambam that we just learned a moment ago, and that Rambam speaks explicitly about Maise Merkava, and the Rambam does not mention Chochmas Chitzonius Bechlal, and he doesn't say, therefore, but they can't be from Sifrei Haminim and so on and so forth, because it's not the Rambam's agenda altogether. The Rambam is talking about a Masoira of Torah Misinai, which deals with the esoteric. And the Rambam says that's what's called Tiyu Ba'Pardes. But the material of the Tiyu Ba'Pardes led the Rambam to make this incredible conclusion. Namely, that what the Rambam had in mind, which the Rambam doesn't say explicitly, but it's implicit in the juxtaposition. What the Rambam is saying, in effect, is this. When the Rambam speaks about Maaseh Merkava, he's not talking about Zoyars. He's talking about philosophy. He's talking about an understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam's governing of the world, which is borders on the philosophy of the Goyim. So he says that you cannot go into this area unless you are Mole Kresoi, like the Rambam said. Lechem u'basa. And basa v'yayin, it's the same idea. V'uleida isu v'heta v'dinei ha-mitzvahs, and what's quoted, we don't know, all the references that are brought down in the Ramah, not necessarily from the Ramah, but, you know, the Marim Makomos in the Ramah itself, with the parentheses. But whoever brought it down, what does he bring? Rambam Seif Mada, right? In the end of the fourth parak, Hilchos Yisoid HaTorah. Well, that's the thing that I just quoted in number two. So comes along the Shach. The Gra is very famous for his sharp words, but really the Shach, you know, spelled the thing out. So look at number six. By the way, before number six, in the Drisha, he already tries to explain or expand the Ramah's idea. Now, the Drisha, the Sma, the Drisha, Rabbi Yeshua Falk, if you look at the last couple of lines in number five, you'll see that that's what after quoting the Gemara in Chagigah, Daf Yudalit, Abba Nichnas Lepardes, Uba'u Lahasig Malamala Malamata, Vahu Chakirois Iyunis Eloikius. Right, afilu bazeh kosev Rambam shaf al pisha bchalal gemaruhu mikom mikom lo yumlam denu ki imachas shemili kreisoi mimikra mishnah b'talmud. So chakiros eloikios, this is such a vague term, and it could apply to the Zayar too, of course. But obviously, what he means chakiros philosophical chakiros comes along the Shach, and he writes avolo belimut shar chachmos. Kegon sifrei ha-philosophim tchuna v'chochmas ha-kabola v'kayotze bahem, ve'ein loshon arav metukon, shekosav v'zeh nikra b'ein ha-chachomim tiyu b'pardes. Mashma, shekol sha'ar ha-chochmos, zulas ha-shas, nikra tiyu b'pardes. He says it sounds like all what we call secular learning outside of the Gemara is called tiyu b'pardes, and he says that's not so. Ve'ein okein. Sharamam kosav b'soif perek dalet mehilchus yisoid ha-Torah shen yonei maise breishis u'maise merkova heim shechachomim korem oso pardes k'mo she'amru arba nechnes olu pardes v'afo pi shegdol yisroel v'chachomim gedolim etc. etc. And he quotes the rest of the Rambam. And he quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra, the Gemara in Sukkah, v'godol maise merkova dovekot navayis dabaye v'rova. V'afo pi kein ruin la'agdimam v'od she'im atoy v'agdolu. He quotes the entire Rambam all the way till the end. Then he writes, Gam bedrisha nistabich beloshen ze shekosav harav. V'lo iyein rak bedivra rama sheperek alef michus tam betorah, shesiyem shom v'inyonim hanikroim pardes b'chlal ha-shasein b'kosav olav v'dvarav t'mun l'finu izdati pardes haniskul v'atz lo mechochma stativiyos. Science! V'eich kolu b'chlal ha-shas as we said, we saw it in the Drisha before. So he says the Drisha made the same mistake. He says that's not what the Rambam had in mind. That is not la'acha shemile kresa. You can learn these things because it's not really the esoteric lore that we are talking about when we say arba nichnasu lepardes, and that you can't be megalit except to a yochid and Beremisa and Berashe Prakim and all the other things that the Rambam says. So obviously the Rambam was talking about something else. Now he writes, I skipped a little bit. Yeah. Period. Now the Shach continues. Gam ha-mekubalim u'shara achronim hifligu b'dover shalalumot chokmas ha-kabolah ad acha shemile kreisei me'ashas, v'yesha kosu shlalumot kabola ad shei ben arboim shona, k'mo she'omru ben arboim levina, v'shegam shetzorich kedusha v'tara, v'zrizus v'nekiyus lezeh, v'roiv ha'mispatzim lalus b'chach mazu kodem azman roi, k'im tebloyeis k'mo she'kosuv kolzeh b'divrei chach masa emes. So the Shach does not really enter into the fray, as it were, of what is really meant. He doesn't side one opinion or the other. He just wants to make one point, that regardless of who's right about what the Gemara meant by Arba Nichnasu Lepardes, it's not Chochmas Chitzainius. It's not science, and it's not history, and it's not philosophy, as the Goyim understand philosophy. So the Chochmas Iyunius Elokius that the Derisha is talking about, and which the Ramah seems to subscribe to, this is a mistake in understanding what the Rambam had in mind. That's the way they feel. But what did the Rambam have in mind? It's clearly not Chochmas HaKabbalah either. So therefore, he says, those Maisa Breishis and Maisa Merkava, that's esoteric, is not being described in the Rambam much, but it's clear from the Rambam that it's not what the Rama had in mind. On the other hand, the Chachmei Kabbalah, they are also interpreting the Gemara in Chagigah their way. That what Abba Nichnasu Lepardes is in the Inyonim that are described in the Zohar and amplified by the Ari and so on and so forth. And this is a Kabbalah which is also not available to everybody. So you plug in the same principle, namely that it's not roi for a person that was not memali bebasa v'lechem or bebasa v'yayin to get involved in these things. And he adds a couple of more restrictions, namely that some say you shouldn't do it until you're 40 years old, and that you have to have the purity of body and personality and kedusha, nikiyus, and so on and so forth that has to accompany it. So the Gaon, of course, mentions the Shach, and before he, the most famous line that he says, Avolo ro'u es hapardes, lo hu v'lo harambam. He says, he basically quotes the Shach, he makes reference to the Shach, and he points out that Lashon harav eino metukon, shim ze pardes heich omar avolo, because he's pointing out that the Rama has an inner contradiction. According to the way the Rama learns, how could you say that you should only learn these things occasionally because that's not really the ikar of Talmud Torah? He says this is the ultimate Talmud Torah, except that you have to have the proper hakdamas, and you can't start with this. You have to start with Gemara and Paiskim. If you look at the Lashon HaRambam, the one that we said was difficult to understand how he describes the Dover Cotton, you'll see clearly that the Rambam compares it to the Dover Gadol and finds it lacking. It isn't the ultimate, the Havayis Dabayev Rava. The ultimate is Maisa Merkava. He says, how can the Rambam say on the one hand it's the ultimate, and on the other hand that it's not really a big chelik of Torah, and if you should not involve yourself in it because your Iker Limud should be in Torah. This is Torah. In fact, this is ultimately your Iker Limud after the age of 40 or whatever it is that the Shach wants. So the point is that the Gaon has two problems one problem is with the Rambam, and the other problem is with the Rama B'Kiflayim. The problem with the Rambam is Hulo Ro'a Sapardes. He says the Maisim Erkova that the Rambam describes is not the Pardes that the Gemara is describing. Because he insists that he's in the side of the Mekubalim, and he says it's a Dover Pashat, that the Rambam just simply didn't know this. Doesn't, by the way, change the fact that he quotes the Rambam left and right, Yom HaValayla, and he's back and forth with the Rambam in everything. Lairo is not part of his Masora. And therefore, we don't have to listen to him about what Maisim Rekova is, because he thinks he made a mistake. But it doesn't have anything to do with Nigla, and the Nigla, he was the master. And he's on the same par as any of the other Rishonim. And maybe even more so because he is central to the Psak Halacha. The Gaon's Chibur on the Shulchan Aruch is really a Chibur under Rambam, before Maduris Reb Shapsi Frankel put it together. Because what is the Shulchan Aruch if not, in many ways, the borrowing of the Lashonis of the Rambam that are mentioned in the Tur, and sometimes not even in the Tur, and the commentary upon it. So therefore the Beis Yosef, the Iker, is the Rambam. So if the Gaon is busy with this Chibur, obviously he is very much involved in analyzing the Rambam. You know how many times in Agos Hagra and Shas it says that this Girsa is good according to this Mandiyama, but the Rambam has a different Girsa and he explains it, and sometimes it's very sophisticated. But he's busy with the Rambam Yomim V'Laila in all of the Sfarim, in Nigla. And nevertheless, he says the Rambam didn't know what Nistar was. That's what he's saying over here. At the same time, he says with the Rama, there are two problems. Number one, he seems on the one hand to be following the Rambam and the path of what the definition is, but on the other hand, he went overboard and he says that this is philosophy. And at the same time says that because it's just Chochmah, it's really not part of Talmud Torah, and the Gaon says on the contrary. From the Gemara, it's Mashma that it's an ultimate part of Torah. So he says that this is a big mistake. V'loshen Arav Eino Metukon. Shemzeu Pardes, Heich Omar, Avolo, that he shouldn't be busy with these things. Ein Lecha Kibul Schar, Yosem Mizeh. Because that's called Abai Verava, called the Dover Kotten, Vayim B'Shach. Okay. So that's where we are up to the point of the Shulchan Aruch and its Mefarshim. Now, what we do see here, especially from the Shach, is one thing. That those Mekubalim, and that's, we'll speak now about the Zohar, those Mekubalim, what are they, what is their interest centered upon? What is their interest focused upon? So today I suppose we could say the Iker interest, if we're going past the Ramban and past those Rishonim and past that Masaira, the Iker interest is in the analysis of the Zohar and the writings of the Ari HaKadosh as they are maintained and preserved for us from the Reb Chaim Vital's many Svarim. So when do you learn this, and what are the requirements for the learning of this, which is the topic of this year? So there are many, many Sfarim that deal with this, from the Kadmainim, and that includes many Sfarim that are exclusively Sifrei Kabbalah, and it also includes Sfarim that are for the Hamon Am, that also talk in the Inyonim of Kabbalah to the Hamon Am, and include many of the great principles of the Zohar and the Ari HaKadosh, distilled, if you will, for the Hamon Am, and there included in this is statements like we have from the Shalah, how you are supposed to approach the Zohar. So let's take a look at this piece, which is number 7. La'acha shemile kreisei b'mikra b'mishna v'talmud. So now the first requirement is, and without which there is absolutely no starting point as far as the Shalah is concerned, and this is also based on the Chazal and based on the Rambam, except that Rambam went with it in a certain direction. But we don't have to go with it in that direction, says the Shalah, because we know what the emes is about what is pardes, what is maisa gracious, what is maisa merkava. So therefore, whatever that was, we can still maintain the structure of the Rambam, that these things which we understand to be davar gadol, it's not for everybody, and it's not something that is available to all, and it's not for someone to learn before he has established himself as a Talmud Chacham. He has to learn Mikra, Mishnah, V'Talmud. It doesn't mean a smattering of Mikra, Mishnah, V'Talmud. You know, today you get smicha on a tiny little fraction of what you need to really know the Paskin Shilas. And the smicha be'ikar is the telephone number of the posik that's attached to the smicha. No, I mean, this is the davar yadua, and it's really, it's correct. Because oy v'avoy for a person who wants to paskin difficult shilas on his own when he has a smicha because he has a piece of paper, a diploma, because the things that the diploma requires is simply are not enough to be able to paskin correctly the vast mikzolos of shas. It doesn't have anything to do with Choshen Mishpat and Evan Ezer, and it has very little to do with Orach Chaim. Now today they learn a little more Hilchos Shabbos and other things, but Afal Pi Kein, Hilchos Shabbos is a lifetime endeavor really. And then of course when it comes to Yerideya, there are very small sections of Yerideya that are covered, and not a lot of very important sections, such as Kibud Av Ve'Em, which has a huge number of Shilas, and Hilchos Talmud Torah, and all kinds of other things. Hilchos Avil, some people do learn today, that's very critical, also in Yerideya. In any case, it's not that kind of level of learning that we're talking about. It's la'acha shemile kreisa, he filled his stomach. It's a figure of speech, it's in quotation marks, but it means you're full. You know, when a person eats a little bit, he's still hungry. Mile kreisa is saying that you are full of mikra, mishnah, v'talmud. Then you are permitted. Then he adds one more thing. Yis'asik be'ema u'be'yira b'ktusha u'betara. Every one of these things are separate. Ema, yira, kedusha, tara. B'chokhmas ha-kabbalah. Which is b'zohar u'betikunim, the tikune zohar, u'me'mefarshe devrehem. U'be'yeser sifri ha-kodesh ha-shoavim mimei be'er ha-zohar. So the Zohar is the centerpiece of all of the limud that comes together, which is chokhmas ha-kabbalah. Klal ha-oyla. And he says, by the way, the Shalah insists that you should learn these things with those two fundamental requirements, lacha shemile kreisoi, and it should be done be'ema b'yira b'dusha v'tara. And why? That's basically it. You have to know what the Ribbono Shel'olam is all about and what our relationship to him is. lo ra'a ma'oros miyamav, vaksil b'choshech holeich. Kvar huskur in yonim elu baruch olamala, he himself has discussed this at length, and it is part of the explanation of the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, da es elokei avicha. By the way, just derech agav, elokei avicha already tells you something. Should have said da es elokim, it's one God, elokei avicha, and your God is the same God. So why does it say elokei avicha? Because the answer is, it's Kabbalah, it's Masaira. It isn't something that we figure out on our own. So it's elokei avicha. You know, Zekeli van Veyu, Elokei Ovi v'aroi memenu. And then he quotes in the writings of Rabbi Nachum de Luzano, Kamo sheyesh besochra mishenu marviach rakabo chamisha levenim liyom. So, levonim, levenim, whatever these are. A person is making an analogy over here. A person is working, and he's working on a job that just doesn't make much. It just doesn't make much. And he has an opportunity to make much more. So he says this is a difference between somebody who's not involved in the Seudas of the Torah and someone is involved in the Seudas of the Torah. He says, and the einish of the beetle of the mitzvah is the same because it's so important and so critical. So if you ignore it and you avoid it and you have disdain for it, so your punishment is that much greater. So. Quotes in later in Osnun Dalid, the last four or five lines, Oisik b'maisim erkova, ain't it poisik, afilu amin yeish meiraba, alkein ha'oisik b'chachmas kabola tzorch shlo yosiach daito me'inyon asher oseik ad gemar oso inyon. Ve'in tzorch lo meshlo yosiach hasesholm shum sicha, v'hu b'kavachome, b'embenon shol kavachome, da'afilu b'divrei Torah, da'am omer v'sinim apsik b'sicha ma'achim l'osol gachalei resomim. So obviously in the esoteric, which is all the more. So you see that he has this tremendous respect and the focus and the emphasis of the ultimate limud ha-Torah is Chochmas HaKabbalah. And nevertheless, he has those two prerequisites. Number one, and of course it's Toli Zebazet, a person that, if you have that much respect, and that is what you're involved in, you obviously have to have the background of Achav Shemile Kreso, and it has to clearly be Be'ema B'yira B'gdusha B'tara. I must tell you that one of the things that happened as a result of many of the Sifrei Kabbalah after the Zohar was revealed is that there became a certain perspective. It's a good point in the Shia to mention this. There became a certain perspective that just the words of the Zohar themselves have a koyach, and that even if you don't understand a single word of what you're saying, it's kedai to read the Zohar every single day. And there are many Sfardim, in fact, especially, particularly Sfardim, who take this very, very seriously. And the Chok L'Yisrael Sefer, which has a smattering of all parts of the Torah, includes Chalokim of the esoteric, and it's the same thing. He doesn't understand one word of what he's talking about, and he doesn't even have a Hava Mina that he does. It's just the reading of the words. Now, this is very fascinating for the following reason. There is a well-known distinction that's made between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, which is emphasized by the Mishnah Berurah from the Magen Avraham and by the Shulchan Aruch Harav on his own, and that is the following. If you learn Torah Shebichsav and you don't understand one word, you're still mekayim a mitzvah of, when I say learn, so you're not really learning it in the sense of the word learn, but you are reading it. But for the reading itself, whether it's Tehillim or Divrei Hayomim or Shir HaShirim, it doesn't make any difference. For the sake of Torah, you are mekayim a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, even if you don't understand the words at all. Masha'en kein Torah Shebaal Peh. Basically, Torah Shebaal Peh is the ideas. And you can't have ideas without having ideas. So if you're just reading the text and you don't know what you're saying, most poskim hold that even though today it's a text, even though it's a fixed text, the Mishnah, the Gemara, it's printed and it's a text, nevertheless, that text is only Eis Lassos Hashem Eferu Torah Secha. Ultimately, it's Torah Shebaal Peh. Ultimately, Torah Shebaal Peh is ideas. The Rambam paskins that Hirhur also requires Brichas HaTorah. And he says that's the Iker of learning Torah, the thinking and learning. So he says, if you can't think because you don't understand, what are you accomplishing? So obviously, there's no Kiyum of Mitzvahs Talmud Torah. Comes along this particular Sefer or that, and says that this doesn't apply to the Zohar. because there's something about the words of the Zohar that have some internal engine, internal Kedusha, that just the uttering of the words has a koach, and the verbalization of the words, to my mind, I would almost go so far as to say, so you don't get a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but you get a mitzvah of saying the Zohar. Almost like that. That the Shem HaGedolim of the Chidah, and he speaks about the Sefer HaBoh here, he writes the following. V'nirash HaKavona, number 8. V'nirash HaKavona hu hischil l'chaber sefer b'kabbalah b'pirsum. Now, the question is, you're writing a sefer, or you're giving over the basic ideas to a Talmud that's capable of extrapolating, as we found at the very beginning. So he says that the Sefer HaBoyer was the first sefer. Ki ha'af omnum shekol divrei razal heim benuyim ha'chokmas ha'emes, k'mo she'omar raya mehemna, right? The kol ha'talmud nisyasid al rozen d'oraisa, even the Gemara has an esoteric level. Even shor shenoga chasapora, mikol makom hilbishu advarim ma'oid, she'ena nikar klal, ki heim medabrim soidei ha'toyra. Av Reb Nechunya ben Hakone hisku l'cha be'sefer, he was the first one to write a sefer she'nikar bohem ha'sodos. He doesn't mince words. He says, I'm writing a Sefer of Kabbalah. The Talmidim of the Ari, Shalimud Hazoyar Hu Tikun Godel Hoyer Nefesh Lukadsha. For Rav Zatzal Nasan Tikun Lubal Tshuva Lumoid Chamisha Dapim Shal Torah B'chol Yom Af Al Gav Delo Yoda Maika Omar. So he doesn't know one word of what he's saying. He should still read 5 pages of Zoyar a day. The Kriyasa Zu Hilula, you know, it's a play on the words in Maseches Megillah. They ask, why don't you say Hallel on Purim? And they say, one day it says, because the Kriya of the Megillah is a Hallel. He says, Kriyasa of the Zayar Zu Hilula Lahoyer HaNefesh Ulitakna. V'nira ki dafka limud zazeh yesh bay segula zu yeser or yoser alimud mishnah v'talmud u'mikra. For hu pele kama kocho godol mikol ha'toira im lemikra v'im lemishna. So here you have it, black on white. Just the saying of the words has a koach, and it's even greater than the koach of mikra and mishnah. Eilu dvarav. V'ani amarti lo da, ki ein sofek ki kol limud b'torah ha'kadosha nisa v'ramhu meroimim, right? V'befratim yi elishma ba'mitus, right, vaday boina shamay vashamayim aloisov umetaken alomus umiyachid hadudim mitzvibi hadurim. Vafilu mori rosin, right? So choyvas gavra lumoid mikro mishna halacha dvayoyim biyoyim kashadibe bekotcher abenu ariza tzal kmaseu mimenu. Omnam asha godo limud azeh haino sham mikro vamishna vatalmud heim lumbashim miyod veinikar behem hasoid klal. Loi kein zeh she medabed besoide atora beferush. Ve'ein pesi hakore shelo yovin derech klal ki dvarav ve'imkei razei Torah ve'lochein liyoy sisrei Torah gluyim b'li levush hein mashiru me'ir ma'nefesh ve'af agav debotza ma dvarav stumim v'chasumim me'od hainu lohovin seiser elyon be'etzem v'lei detoichen advarim al buryon v'amaskotam devadet tzvicha rabba v'lo yuvnu advarim ki mipichochem godol lo'izim v'kabel mevin. But on Bechlolos, this is the last line, very important. Bechlolos nikar heyoysan rozen iloyin vadvorim oysim roishem b'shorasheyem el yoynim lamala. Now the truth of the matter is I had a lot of trouble understanding precisely what does he want, the Chidah. The impression that you have on the one hand is that he's trying to explain that there really is no such thing as just reading words without understanding anything. And here is the, maybe I'm misreading the Chidah, but in any case, whether it's right in the Chidah or not, it's certainly right in general. You'll see in many of the Sfarim that speak about learning Kabbalah, that there is what you might want to call a Nigla in the Nistar. But the Nigla in the Nistar has 2 different levels. And this is very important. Anybody that opens up a Zohar anywhere, and in fact, I might add that this was the approach of Rav Frisch when he wrote his Pirush Masuk Midvash, which is a collection of many other Pirushim, and became extremely popular. So the Zohar with the Masuk Midvash, and the Tikkuni Zohar, and many others for him. So he has this chibur. So he did an interesting thing. He has the Zohar's words on the bottom. First he has the text itself on top. Then on the bottom he has the Zohar's words, and then he has a translation or a commentary on those words. But he did an interesting thing. He used for the Nigla of the Zohar the regular script, and for the Nistar of the Zohar, which he explains further, the Rashi script. So that a person can almost say, well, I'll learn this and then I'll skip over this. And that's really what happens very often when the people use that Sefer, because they can't make heads or tails of all the things. And you'll also notice another interesting thing, that when it comes to the Nistar part of the Zohar, it's a massive number of Rashi Tevos, which to the person who knows what's going on is very easy and easily identifiable. The person doesn't know what's going on, it's another barrier to make him not be able to understand. I think what the Chida is trying to say is this, and before I say that, I want to finish my sentence. There are two aspects to what we call the Nigla of the Zohar. One aspect is pure Nigla. The Zohar is also a Pirush on Chumash. The Zohar is also telling all kinds of interesting stories. For example, the story of the Petira of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, which is mentioned in the Chelek of the Zohar in Parshas Hazinu called the Idra Zuta. Now, that's very fascinating. And it's something that anybody could read and anybody could translate, and it's telling you a story. Now, of course, the Idra Zuta itself is one of the most esoteric parts of the Zohar. But at the end of the Idra Zuta, there's a whole discussion of how Reb Shimon ben Yochai was Nifter, and who was there, and the whole... It's a very, very beautiful and very complex piece, but very readable, very accessible. That's what we call the Nigla, that's Mamish Nigla. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the Nigla of the Nistar. Now, what is the Nigla of the Nistar? So, for example, if anyone asks the average Jew who knows anything about anything, could you name the 10 Sfiros? And he could probably rattle it right off. Now, if you ask, how many Sfarim did you learn that discuss these inyonim of the Sfiros? He says, none. So what's the Pshat? And the Teretz is, it's in the air. And if a person looks at the Zohar and he looks at some of the basic introductions to Kabbalah that are written by Tzadikim and Gedolei Olam, then he will get a feeling for it. But the best example of what I'm talking about are the Sifrei Chassidus. And then from there, maybe we'll look at the Nefesh HaChaim for a moment. In Sifrei Chassidus, they have a massive amount of Inyanei Kabbalah. Who are they writing for? So who is this Sefer for? So you'll say it's for those people who are masters of Kabbalah. That's definitely not true. So why are they writing these things? Because they assumed that there's a certain infrastructure, a certain basic scaffolding, if you will, that can be accessible even though you can't go beyond point X. So you may not be able to get to the next level and you may not really understand, but you understand enough to be able to use these terms on a certain level. And that's why when you open up almost any Sefer Chassidus, you will find that the Sefer is speaking to the Hamon Am of the Chassidim, and it is expected of them that they should be able to have a general understanding of the points that are being made. The same thing, for example, Yav Askinu Sudasa. I remember in my shul, we are Ashkenazi, and I don't say Askinu Sudasa. But there are some Mispalim that Davinu Sechsfar, and when it came to Shalosh Shudas, they wanted to say Askinu Sudasa. So I made a deal with them. Of course, I finally caved in. But I made a deal with them at the beginning, and I said to them, if you can explain to me Askinu Sudasa, I'm willing to say it. So that's the point. But however, if you have a translation of Askinu Sudasa and a little bit of a commentary, Kemen Shemainen, you know, you can think that you do understand it actually quite well. So you have Chakal Tapuchin Kadishin is this, and Zeirampin is this, and you know, and so on and so forth. And that, of course, is really almost a fantasy, because you can't understand something until you fully understand it. I'll give you a mashal, and this is what's really remarkable about this whole idea. The mashal is this. The Brisker Rav said that there's something incredible about Torah. The same Torah can be learned by a 10-year-old of average understanding and an 18-year-old and a Gadol HaDor. It's the same Gemara. There's a joke that used to be said over in Europe that there was a fellow who was a total Amoritz, couldn't read a word, but he had, for whatever reason, a desire that his daughter should marry a Talmud Chacham. Went to the Rosh Yeshiva, pick me out the biggest Talmud Chacham, I have to trust you, but you'll find me the best, and he'll become my son-in-law. And I'll take care of him, I'll support him for the rest of his life. Not that he should sit and learn. And he did. And one day he walks over to the to his Edom, and for some reason he was curious. He says, what's this Sefer that you're learning with such hasmoda? And he says, it's Baba Kama, and he turned white. The father-in-law turned white and started screaming, Mekach Toz, Mekach Toz. He says, what's the matter? What happened to you? He says, that's what my 8-year-old is learning. So in other words, the Rosh Yeshiva fooled me, you know. So he says, no, it's a different Sefer with the same name. which is really true. That's the point. So for example, in physics, you could never have something like that. So when I once upon a time studied physics, so as a child you learn a little bit of physics, and the physics that you learn, you know, to tell you stories, a few equations. They try to talk to you about Einstein's theories of relativity and tell you stories about the clock in Switzerland and so on and so forth. It's very nice. But it's a far cry from what you learn when you're already in the college level and you're learning advanced mechanics and so on and so forth. And that's a far cry from the graduate student. I remember we had a professor who was taking a leave. He was a PhD candidate in Harvard in nuclear physics and so on. He was a genius. And, you know, at that time I realized that, you know, that you can't get past point X unless you devote your life to any kind of learning like that on that level. So you have to make up your mind, what do you want out of your life? But the bottom line is that you can study physics at that level, and you can study physics on an even higher level. But when, you know, we had a gentleman by the name of Dr. Aaron Price, Zichrono Livracha, in our neighborhood. He was a neighbor, and he was a professor in Temple University, very advanced mathematics. At his Levaya, they said that Rabbi Eliezer Aaron Price was very close to Rabbi Moshe. He got a big smicha from him. His Rabbi Eliezer Aaron Price was writing his books in mathematics. From a footnote, a graduate student could write an entire PhD. He was one on a very, very advanced level. In mathematics on a relatively high level, so I saw one of his books on the table when I visited him in his house, and I said to myself, let me see what he does. And to be honest with you, I didn't know if I was holding the book right side up or right side upside down. And there comes a point, you know, so he says in Torah, says the Brisker Rav, he doesn't give all of these examples, but the Brisker Rav says in Torah, you have this incredible phenomenon that the very same text has the accessibility to a child who learns Rashi this way, and then the Vilna Gaon learns Rashi. The end of his life, he was learning Chumash with Rashi. But in that Chumash with Rashi was Kala Torah Kula. What I want to say is that what applies there does not apply to Kabbalah. Dafka does not apply to Kabbalah. In Kabbalah, it's like physics. In other words, in Kabbalah, you don't have that the same text is equally accessible to everybody. Because the nature of Kabbalah, what's the difference? The difference is not so much in the subject matter, but in the a way in which it's presented, which is megale tefach u'machaset v'chay. The purpose of Kabbalah is to confound you. The purpose of the Sfarim is to write with imagery, with terminology. It's not just because you're writing about Hashem and that's almost impossible. It's also because it's not meant to be accessible. And memela, the nigla of the nistar, is by definition not the nistar itself. And I think that that's why they tolerated, on the one hand, that it should be accessible on that level, the nigla of the nistar in the Sifrei Chasidus. For their purposes, it's enough. It's enough of a remez to what's real for them to be able to explain this, that, or whatever it's on their agenda. But it's not really the Kabbalah itself. So that's really why they allowed it. You have now in, I mean, I don't know, how much time do I have? Another 2 or 3 hours? Before I gave the shiur, somebody said that there's enough here for several days worth of shiur, and the truth is it's so. But I just want to give you at least a background in what's left, if we don't have the time to do it. The Noida Bihuda, look at the last words, ki ein li yesek bin nistaros. That's another secret that is something that needs to be repeated over and over again. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Soloveitchik, the Noi de Behuda, and on and on and on and on. We don't know what they knew, and we don't know how much they knew, and we don't know, but we do know one thing. We know that we didn't catch them being ma'ayin heavily in these inyonim, and we don't know that they wrote sfarim on these inyonim, or any chiburim for that matter, or that they gave shiurim in these inyonim. Even though Rav Soloveitchik gave on kol ha'Torah kula, and even though Rav Moshe Feinstein's Dibros Moshe analyzes Gemara after Gemara after Gemara, we don't have that equivalent in any of the esoteric sfarim. Not of the Ramak, not of the Ari, not of the Ramchal, nothing. And in the Noda Behuda, you have it black on white. Ain li esek ben historis. In the Rav Menashe Klein, very recent, so he writes, you know, it's true that the Gaon was Isaac in these inyanim very heavily. It's true that a later part of his life he was almost Isaac exclusively in these inyanim, after he was Milei Kreisei B'Shasu Paiskim. And it is also true that he said that learning these inyanim is Makariv de Geula. But he says, Afal Pikein, there are a lot of other things that are Makariv de Geula. Lav kol adam zech l'shnei shulchanos. And look at the last line. May not have the same pages as I do, but about 12 lines down in number 10. Shamati b'shem Moran agoyin hakodesh admor mitzanz bal divrei chayim zal shepam bo etzloi odom godol b'toyra lisyayit shavosalumot chokhmas hakabola. Of course, as you know, or maybe you don't know, Chaim Sanza was unbelievably great in Nigla. He was one of the Poske Hador. He was unbelievably great in Nistar, and he was an unbelievable Baal Tzedakah. He is an incredible Torah Avodah B'il Sasson, really an unbelievable person. Anyhow, somebody came to the Messiah Shalom Salim Chochmas Kabbalah Shalom Agoyin Hakodesh Tagit Lik. Let me ask you something. Hayim Yesh B'Mitzius Etzlam. Do you ever have occasion when you're davening Shmona Esrei that some strange thought comes into your head, and he says, "Listen, a mensch is only a mensch." I mean, of course. It does happen on occasion. V'oz pasach Rabbeinu Agoyin HaKadosh Mitzan says piv b'ge'ora in Shmeina Esrei hotel in Zin and Machshav Ezores in Kabbalah Viltir Leonin. Yeah. Kaidem daf min zich Leonin v'itzadavnin. So he's saying that, you know, you're talking about things that are under Meruma Shalolam, and granted as important as it is, but it goes step by step and you're not anywhere near that Madrega. That's what he was saying. And so he says that Yaminli, he writes, Kani Oisik Kemat Kola Yom Halaylo Zeh Shonim Rabbis B'Toyros HaNigla Ba'alochis U'Sharin Yonim Va'adayin Lo Yizachisi Li'idiyas HaToyra Misha Hashem Ziko Va'adeh Chochmas HaKabola Kedoshah Hi Oma Mi Yochol Amoid Al Akoil U'Befrat B'Dor HaZeh. After the Nazis wiped us out, our responsibility is to return to the Toyros HaNigla and become masters of Torah once again. So you have the Divrei Yatziv, the Kloisenberger. Of course, the Kloisenberger is an enikel of the Divrei Chaim of the Tzanzer. So he writes also from him. Now, he was also an enikel of the Zidde Chayver. Now, as people who are involved in these inyonim know, the Zidde Chayver was an unbelievable master of Kabbalah, wrote a number of Sfarim on it, and, in fact, encourages the learning of the Zohar. He's the Sar Beis HaZohar, as he writes. Again, these writings are full of puns and plays on words. Sar Beis HaSoyar, Sar Beis HaZoyar. Actually, it's both, you know, that's the point. Anyhow, so he says, look what he writes. He says, Enochanami Maizeda, the Divrei Chaim was against it. Iker Asakenu B'Shasu Poiskim, Omnom. It's about 7 lines down in 11. Adoyne Ovizkeni Mizidichov, Zuchus Yogan Aleinu. Shu Sarbe Sazoya Mora de Rosen, he was the great master. Heikil Kitsas, Balimut Chokmas Akabola Lipshute Am Lichoira. But then he quotes a whole sefer that, you know, warns people about all kinds of warnings. So the same, and he speaks about this at great length, and he writes in the middle, Gamba Niglas Hatoira Loi Kola writes Alito Sashem Yoviv Yito, Koshkin Chokmas Kabola, it's a Vasus Yogla Torish Lo Legalis Sedis Hatoir Lishainam Ruyim Lohem. And, of course, today he would have written that it's a tragedy, it's a disaster, but believe it or not, this concept that people who don't know anything or people who just recently became Baalei Tshuva or people who are yearning and hungry for something more schmaltzy or esoteric because that appeals to them, and they don't know Aleph, Beis, and Nigla. This is something that was apparently not rampant as it is today, but something that was a problem in all the Dairis. And all of these Sfarim that I mentioned, including the Talmud of the Marshals, Matei Moshe, and of course the rest of this Divrei Yatziv, they all speak about this. They all speak about that it has to be Achar Shemile Kreso. Take a look at the last two paragraphs, the last next to the last paragraph of the Matei Moshe. V'achar Shemile Kreso mehem yitom ma'ad vash. What's a loymar? Sheilumar achakach hachochmos halolu. Avol dafko me'rav muvok baki b'chochmos halolu. Right? And then he writes a very interesting thing. I'm not taking sides, he says. This is in the time of the Marshal. Marshal, same time as the Ramah. They communicated with each other. They wrote tshuvas to each other. So he writes, if the Yomamale Kresoi Bishasu Poiskim, you can learn the Chochmas Halalu. What are the Chochmas Halalu? He writes, the Impirusham Gedasa Rambam, Shu Chochmasa Philosophius, Halokosati Leo Shelum, but I some kim in Malamit, Shu Chlasigos and Alamitosam. The Impirusham Shu Seda Kabola Yadul Bali Ahemes, Gambaze Kosa Balo Yikori Maima Base, etc. Also Laim Besifri Kabola, Ella Alpia Kabola, Chochami Pi Chocham. Vaz who Sava Vedoshain, Ratsaloma Vaz who Baltira Gomor. So he says that it doesn't matter which approach you follow and what the definition of Maisa Merkava is. Everyone's masking that it's only Lacha Shemile Kresoi V'Shasu Poiskim, and he adds, and then you have to have a Rebbe, you can't learn it on your own. The last piece I'm not going to go into with you because we ran out of time, but Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Hillel wrote quite a number of Sfarim and published quite a number of Sfarim in Kabbalah, one of the great masters of Kabbalah of today. And he was asked, or he's asking himself, I don't know if sometimes you write a tshuva and you really wrote the question also, not just the answer. But this is a question that everybody would ask him. He says, what are the conditions, right? What are the tnoim hatzrichim ala chayfetz likonis ala kodesh pnima? And he wrote a huge tshuva, a tshuva of many, many pages, about three times as much as you have here. And a lot of it, which I eliminated, which I left out, was an analysis of the words of Reb Chaim Vital, which seemed to say in the name of the Ari, that the following, and this is what he tries to dispel, and it's a sidebar as far as the basic point is concerned, and that's why I left it out. But I'll just be meramis to it. The Ari HaKadosh seems to say that certain people have dispositions in certain ways in learning, in understanding things. If a person learns, this is what he seems to be writing, if a person learns Nigla, and he's not comfortable being ma'ayin in it, in the pilpul, and he doesn't see a siman bracha, then better he should just concentrate on Kabbalah. That's what it seems like he's writing, which opens up the floodgates and says that everybody has to do what's good for him and what he understands and where his nekudas haneshama is. So somebody can come and say, well, you know, I don't enjoy these things. They're boring. I don't find any time in it. I don't really understand what Tosfos wants. I don't have a feeling for the subtleties of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. This is not for me. So I gave it a shot. I was in yeshiva. I was not matzliach. And the Ari HaKadosh is telling me, after a certain point, a number of years, you see that you don't have a hatzlocha, you give it up. So what do you do instead? Instead, you learn these in Yonim. Well, I'm ready. I mean, really, that's what... So he works very hard to prove that that is not the case. And what he really says is as follows. The Ari never meant that you should not be mole kresoi b'shasa poiskim. In fact, he brings kama v'kama rayas to the contrary. What he meant was that there's a certain kind of learning. You might want to say the kind of learning that Reb Chaim Kanievsky does. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky is not busy writing Sfarim answering the kashas of Rebbe Akiva Eiger. In fact, he's not even writing Sfarim similar to his father's Sfarim, which Rebbe Iyun Ubepilpul, in the subtleties and the difficulties of particular problems in the sugya. What is his greatness? Massive bekiyus, constantly learning, and an incredible koyach of organization. And you see that in his svarim that he produced. There's a huge number of details that are incredibly put together, but there's very little of what he is adding, if you will, if you understand what I mean. And in that respect, radically different than the Chazon Ish, and certainly radically different than Reb Moshe Feinstein. Reb Moshe Feinstein, you open up the Dibros Moshe, there isn't one page where there isn't a massive chiddush. He doesn't have that. That's not who he is. And that's what says Reb Yaakov Moshe Hillel, the Ari was talking about. So if you're that kind of lomed, don't get involved in that area of pilpul, which is a tremendous level of iyun in the nigla, which is only the domain of people who can handle it and who have that kind of personality. But he didn't mean that if you're an Am Haaretz in the nigla, but you feel that you can't handle it, you should go into Nistar. And he writes simply that it's not shayach, because what you need for Nistar is much more than you need for nigla. So how is it possible that a person should not be successful in nigla at all and then find his solace in Nistar? Now the teretz is that people learn things that they think is Nistar, but it's not Nistar at all. It's baloney. And that's what he's basically trying to convey. So then he writes at the very, let me just quote very, very briefly a couple of lines. He writes like this. Shekadei sheyuchal adam lasik b'sisrei Torah sarach b'tchilo sheyei baki b'kol dinei Torah kadei shlo yikoshel b'shum diktuk sheba alocha. B'tzorach sheyei mali kresei basa v'yayin d'ayinu sheyei baki b'shas u'poiskim u'medrashim. He's just basically knocked out almost everybody. V'gam tzorach la'amo v'litroach b'pilpul l'pachas chamishanim. He has to give it a shot. And if he's not matzliach, Dainu losses losses lakshus l'taritz al manas liyashiv asugias ulevarer on kesalus nikiya. Ba'oifen shiuchel mitochel asuke shmeitzal libe de hilchusa dim laacha chamishonim shal omel anasis yodo baze lo also biyodo yofel lahasik mitochayun va'pilpul maskonus mevuraros lamito shal Torah, etc. etc. Yaniach yodo me'apilpul kibun sheikam atoras ha'pilpul hu yagia mitochel lebir alocha. It's not for him. He learns, so he doesn't come to the ultimate maskana like Reb Moshe Feinstein. But if it's not oyle biyodei, lochein odif shelo yotzi zmano al pilpulim she'enu malim loytayeles, v'yakdish kol zmanoi l'umay Torah bepshitus, bepashtus, v'haynu sheyasek b'chol chalkei ha-Torah liknos yediyos b'kosha avona, including the esoteric. That's what he says. And then he quotes the Arachayim, he quotes the Rabbi Yosef Yavitz, the Chosid Yavitz from the Megurashei Sfarad. There's very, very valuable pieces here, which they basically, he tries to tell you what you have to have. He writes, for example, in Os Zayin, Zeshek Kosam Dukam Siyad Shmai Oydesoy Desatora, Shem Nimsiru B'tachlitz Ha'elam, Hu Shemuvad Oymek HaMusag. He says, the thing itself is extremely deep. And it's very difficult for people to comprehend, even if it was presented to you black on white, crystal clear. Kal v'chomer, that those who made the presentation were obscuring it as they were writing it. In other words, that's two problems. The presentation is obscure, and even if the presentation was perfect, the topic, the themes are obscure. So not everybody, obviously, is yochol to wear osa itzdala. And he says, Al yedei siyata d'shmaya, if he immerses himself in these things correctly, yuchal odom aroi lo isa itzdol aliskos lasik ketipas gargir shal chardol, like one little crumb, b'mipashtus yediyas hachochma hanistara. And just to conclude and finish, I just want to tell you that at the end of this Idra Zuta, they describe how there's Idra Rabba and there's Idra Zuta. Idra Rabba was an earlier time. Apparently, Reb Shimon ben Yochai got sick, and Reb Shimon ben Yochai was supposed to leave this world, and he was granted the clemency of continuing to stay in this world and to teach his Torahs for a number of years more. That time in the Idra Rabba, which is in Parshas Noso, a section called Idra Rabba, Idra's a goren, a threshing floor. It doesn't mean necessarily that they met in a place that had a threshing floor. It could mean that they sat around. It says, Sanhedrin hayu yoshim kachatzi goren agula. It's very hard to know, but it's called Idra Rabba, the great threshing floor, and Idra Zuta, the small threshing floor. But these are sections of the Zohar. The first one is in Parshas Noso, the last one is in Parshas Ha'azinu. The one in Parshas Ha'azinu in particular has the most esoteric, I'm not giving judgments, but that those two Idros and the Raya Mehemna are the most esoteric parts of the Zohar. But the Idra Zuta especially. So in the Idra Rabba, apparently there was a gathering of a very select number of Talmidim. No one else was able to come in. And it calls them the Chavraya, and there was a big fire. And he lamented the fact that in the Idra Zuta, at the end of his life, when he started giving his teachings, and he opened up the doors, everybody was able to come in and there was no fire. But then the fire finally comes, and a lot of them are excluded, they go out. In the end, he's left with two Talmidim, and then it's increased to another five, or whatever. But the two Talmidim that he has is his son Elazar, Elazar ben Rav Shimon, and the other Talmid, his name is Rabbi Abba. And at the beginning, it writes that Rabbi Elazar sat in front of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Rabbi Abba sat behind him, right? Behind his back. But then he called Rabbi Abba and he said to him, come sit in front of me. First he tells Rabbi Eliezer to move over because Achi Ashilon is coming. And then all the other tzaddikim and the gedolim are coming, and it's an unbelievable piece. But he tells Rabbi Abba that I want you to sit and write what I'm about to tell you. And they explained that the reason that Rabbi Abba was chosen is because Rabbi Abba had this unique koach of writing the esoteric in a way that could hide it from the prying eye. This koach to be malim the soidas with an ayin, lahalim, to hide the secrets of this esoteric lore. So that's what he mentions over here. He says, halotira ki be'es p'tiroso b'reish idras hazinu lo nitan reshus l'chum echad me'osam shiva. Right, there were seven Talmidim of Hakim that were allowed in. Writes Rebbe Abba Yichtov. Reb Shimon Yochai is telling him this, I'm going to be Masader all these teachings. And he says, and he will be the one who writes it, no one else. The ain suffik ki lulei sherashbi hikir v'yoda bruach kodshoi ki Rebbe Abba yochachem gadol v'yodeya lahalbishu lahalim advarim derechid of a remez kidei shelo yevinum afilu chachme ador ahu lahoyim etzaveyu sheyichtoiv ad kan lishoinoi. This is a quotation from Chaim Vital in the Hakdama, the Shar Hakdamos, and that's the point that he's trying to make, that to begin with everything was written in such a way that only the person who has an incredible masorah in it and spent his life learning it and is completely pure, that's one of the points that he makes over and over again, that's the only person that's able to break through and understand that which l'chatchila was difficult to understand and was deliberately obscured even further by Reb Abba and all the subsequent Balei Masairis HaKabbalah, including the Ari HaKadosh and certainly the Gra. I don't know if you've ever learned any of the Gras in Yonei Kabbalah, but the truth of it is, unless you know it, you don't know it. There's no way of breaking through. You know, either you know it or you don't know it at all. There's no way of knowing it a little bit, except a line here and a line there, which kind of like, you know, just doesn't mean anything unless it's in context anyhow. The same thing is true of the Pirush of the Gan Tikunei Zohar, the Safra Detzniusa, and so on and so forth. I just wanted to finish with one observation. I started out at the beginning by saying that in Nigla there's this Wissenschaftler and its descendants, even today, who people who look at the Gemara and analyze it historically and analyze it structurally, and they're not interested in what Rashi or the Rishonim say. And then there is, in the vast majority of the yeshivas and so on and so forth, a different approach to learning entirely, which is part of a Masorah, which is based exclusively on the understanding of the Rishonim and doesn't depart from it. The same thing is true today, especially ever since Gershom Scholem, that there is a whole world of looking at Kabbalah from scholarly and historical eyes. Some of them have tremendous yediyos, and of course this, from the perspective of Mekubalim, such as Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Hillel, and from my perspective as well, of course, is treif like chazer. Now you have, for example, recently was published a translation of the Zohar. There was once upon a time a translation of the Zohar, which was very, very inadequate from anybody's perspective. This fellow, Matt, that's his last name, put out a translation of Zohar for a number of years, and it makes the Zohar accessible, and he has footnotes galore, and the footnotes include everything from soup to nuts, including the garbage can. You know, he quotes Neutzrim, he quotes everybody. He's a scholar. He's interested in looking at the Zohar as a text, the same way that the Greek scholars, the scholars of Greek, look at the works of Homer. No different. And where he is, Legabe, these things doesn't make a difference to anybody. And they use it, and they study it, and they read it, and it makes a lot of sense to them. And this is exactly what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Hillel was talking about, but to an extreme. That these kind of people, they have no way that they could possibly have any shaychus to the Kedusha of the Zohar, and if they can't have a shaychus to the Kedusha of the Zohar, then they have a shaychus to the Tumah, which the lack of Kedusha of Zohar imposes on a person. In other words, there's nothing called neutral. Either it's holy, or it's extremely profane. Either you believe it, or you become an apikoros from it. Either you have an approach that it's Bikdusha Batara and it elevates your neshama, or else it brings your neshama straight to Gehenim. There's nothing in between. So that's very important to know. Now today there's Kabbalah institutes, and there are naked singers that are into Kabbalah, and Vahamei V'Yovin, and so on and so forth. So of course this is totally not relevant to us, but for the journey from the time of the Rambam and the Lacha Shemile Kreso until today, and all the Hasidic Sfarim that quote things, and a lot of the Sfarim that quote in Yoni Kabbalah that are more popular. So I was trying to give a little bit of a background, and the rest is here and beyond. But if you have time, maybe next Shabbos when you have a few moments, so look at the tshuva, that the Chalokim at least of the tshuva of Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Hillel. It's very valuable. Okay. Ruchim Aboyim.
I came in from
I know, that's what I'm saying.